Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. He found the ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, and to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, Cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid. And said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the man that knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. We end our reading there, and we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious God, our eternal heavenly Father, we bow humbly and we bow reverently before thee, acknowledging that thou art the God who is absolutely and completely sovereign and in control of all situations. We thank thee that thou art the sovereign God in life. Thou art the sovereign God in death. We come before thee and we bow humbly before thee, acknowledging that as for God, his way is perfect. And even though our eyes are dimmed, and the tears dim the eyes that we cannot see, and our hearts are heavy, Lord, we know that thou hast not changed. We know today that thou art the same, that thou art still the God in control of all our situations. And, O God, we confess that many questions will crowd our minds, and even as we gather in thy house this evening in thy will, we think of those questions, and yet, Lord, what a comfort even those questions can bring to us in trying circumstances. We look to thee, O God, even in this service today. Pray for thy hand upon us. We pray for thy power upon us. We pray for the enablement and the power of the Holy Ghost to attend the ministry of thy word. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. In our study in this passage of God's word in the book of Jonah, we have already seen and considered a number of things. First of all, we have noticed the instruction that God gave unto Jonah when God says, Arise and go to Nineveh and preach. We then secondly noticed at the impudence, because the Bible tells us that Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. And then we looked at the investment, because it tells us in the scriptures that when he went down to Joppa, and he saw the ship, he said he paid the fare. And Jonah made an investment, and did an investment on a one-way ticket. And God, in his graciousness and in his mercy, had got to step in. We looked last Lord's Day at the intervention. In verse number 4 it says, But the Lord. And where God stepped in, and when God moved and intervened in Jonah's life, thank God for the interventions of God in mercy and the interventions of God in grace. in our lives. But I want us to notice, first of all, when we go to verse number 5, I want us to notice the investigation. It says, "Then the mariners were afraid, and they cried, every man unto his God, and they cast forth the wares that were in the ship to lighten it of them. Jonah was down in the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." And I want us to notice here the investigation. Because God has hurled out the wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest. The Bible tells us that the boat was about to break apart. And as I was looking at that, you know, and the Bible says the mariners were afraid because the ship was about to be broken. I see here the disobedience of one of God's children. And I see that the disobedience of one child of God can involve others and bring danger to others. You know, we can either be a stepping stone or we can be a stumbling block. We can either be a blessing or we can be a blockade to blessing. And I wonder today in your life, child of God, what one are you? As others have witnessed your life, as others watch your life and listen to your conversation, and as you have talked in the midst of the situations of this world, have you been that stepping stone of blessing? Or are you that stumbling block that somebody else will fall over? You know, we do not, the Bible tells us, that we don't live to ourselves. There's a little verse over in the book of Romans, in the chapter 14, and this is what it says in verse number 7. For none of us liveth unto himself. And friend, you know, sometimes we have got this feeling, well, I can do what I like. And really, it's nobody else's business. The Holy Ghost says, friend, it is the business of others. Because there's none of us. There's not one of us live unto ourselves. You're not an island, friend. Listen, you and I this morning, we will either be a blessing or we will be a blockade to blessing in somebody's life. We will either be a stepping stone to be used of God, or we'll be a stumbling block that somebody else will trip over. You know, if you turn with me to the book of Joshua in the chapter 6, and you can read it yourself, it's the story of a man. The Bible tells us the story of a man that is called Achan. And in that passage of God's Word, you'll find that Achan became a stumbling block. In actual fact, it was because of the sin of Achan. For Achan stole something that was set apart for God. And by one man's sin, friend, there came the judgment of God. By that one man's sin, we find that a whole army was defeated because of his sin. You see, you don't live unto yourself. If you turn to 2 Samuel and the chapter 24, you read the story of David. The Bible tells us about David, who was the king. And David was disobedient to God in the numbering of the people. We find that David disobeyed God. Friend, listen, and through David's disobedience, God sent a pestilence upon the children of Israel. 70,000 people died in that pestilence. And why did it happen? Because of one man who decided to have his way. It's his way instead of God's way. You know, we live in an age when people just think that I want it my way. Look in 2 Samuel 24, verse 15. The Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. And there died of the people from Dan to Beersheba 70,000 men for one man. One man's sin. You and I have a tremendous power of influence, for the Bible says, no man liveth unto himself. Young person, what you do, it affects others.
Father, what you do can affect your children. Mother, how you live your life can impact upon your offspring. If you walk in disobedience, if you say, well, I'll have it my way because it's not going my way, I'll do this or I'll do that. What about the family? What about your offspring? Will you send them to hell because of getting your own way? Or friend, do you put God first? Are you going to put God first? And because of Jonah's disobedience, we find here it affects, it impacts upon others. And we find in this book of Jonah chapter 1, and the verse 5 it says, or verse 5, the mariners were afraid because the ship was about to be broken. It was about to be broken. They were on the verge of drowning. They were on the verge of dying because of Jonah. Is there someone that we have influenced wrongly this week? Is there something by our lives that we have been a stumbling block to somebody else? Oh yes, you perhaps will walk away from it and never think about it again. Never give it a second thought. But friend, you have made a mark on somebody's life. You have touched somebody. Your witness, your words has touched somebody. Sad to say, it's not a stepping stone of blessing. It's a blockade. It's a blockade of blessing. Now, perhaps you blame somebody else for it. Then let me tell you this. The sins are. Stories told about a man one time. He had a very bushy moustache. And when he was sleeping, some of the young children thought they would play a prank on him. And so whenever he was fast asleep and the big Zeds were going up, they gathered round and they got some Limburger cheese. And they put the Limburger cheese around his moustache. The Limburger cheese is a very potent smell. There's a real stench of it. And so the man was lying there and he was sleeping. And then he woke up, and whenever he woke up, he started to smell. And he was lying, of course, in his bed resting. And he thought to himself, he says, this bed smells. And so he jumped out of the bed. And then he walked around getting his clothes on. He walked around the room and he says, this room smells. And then he went out into the kitchen. He says, I don't know what's wrong, he says, and even the very kitchen smells. And then he walked outside to get away from all the smell. And he says, you know, I don't know, there's definitely something wrong. Because he says, even the outside, the fresh air smells. Then there was something he didn't realize. The cause of the smell was under his nose. It was under his own nose. Sometimes we're looking for somebody else's scapegoat, friend. Let me tell you, the problem's under our own nose. The problem's ourselves. Not to somebody else. Sad to say, a disobedient believer, listen to me carefully, a disobedient believer, friend, is a danger. Is a spiritual danger to his or her family. They're a spiritual danger to the people that are around at work. Because instead of living for God, instead of being a blessing, they can be a stumbling block. How many people have been a stumbling block to stop people from coming to the house of God, friend? And their lives will never be the same again. One day they'll stand before God, because let me tell you, Jonah was a danger. A danger. And I beg you this morning in God's name, never be a danger to somebody around you. Don't be a danger. Don't be an obstacle to somebody else. Here we find, it says in verse 5, the mariners were afraid. I want you to imagine the scene. I want you to see the ship when it's tossed upon the waves because God has hurled a mighty storm to stop Jonah. It's about to fall apart. And then the Bible says the mariners were afraid. Rightly so. They had every reason to be afraid. They were on the verge of drowning. And let me tell you, these were sturdy men. These were sailor men. These were mariners. These were men that had faced the sea before, friend. They had faced danger before, but there's something about this. There's something different about this. And I believe that these men knew there was something different about it because the hand of God was in the midst of the storm. It was God's hand that hurled the storm, the wind, in against that ship and my stirred the sea. They knew this was no ordinary storm that they had faced before, friend. There was something different. There was something supernatural about this. And the Bible says that they called. They cried, verse 5. They cried every man unto his God. Notice, they cried unto God. His God. And there we find these strong, burly, ungodly men. But let me tell you, in their innermost being, there was something that they knew. There was something that witnessed within them. There was a consciousness that there was a God. I don't care where you go in the world today, even to the darkest regions of the world, friend. There will be a consciousness of God because God has set eternity in man's heart. And he knows there is a supreme being. Reason knows that God exists, but reason doesn't know God. Neither can reason make us acquainted with God. Nature and conscience may tell you there is a God, friend, but only revelation can disclose who he is. It is only the Spirit of God can absolutely reveal to your heart who God is. But they cried unto their God. Notice, they cried. They cried unto God because these men, they believed there was a supreme being. They realized they had to cry out to him. They believed in prayer. They had gone beyond everything else. They believed it was possible to pray. And yet, friend, it is only by the revelation of God that you and I can know that God has placed the prayer ground. There is a place, there is a ground of prayer where man can call upon God. Dear unsaved person, it's the ground of repentance. You've got to repent of your sin. If you're going to call on God to save you, you're going to have to turn away. There's got to be a change of mind concerning your sin. You've got to not only see that your sin is an awful thing, but you've got to turn away from it. There's got to be a change of heart and mind. And it's by the power of the Spirit of God that repentance can come to the heart. These men cried unto God. Notice something else that the Bible says. They cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it off them. You say to me, what were they doing, friend? You see, there was a valuable cargo in the ship. This ship was traveling 2,000 miles. They were going away to Tarshish, and there was a valuable cargo on the board of the ship. But the Bible says that they're casting the wares, they're casting this valuable cargo over the side of the ship. What are they trying to do? Let me tell you, the answer is very simple. They're trying to save themselves. By their own human effort, let me tell you, they're in danger of their lives. Listen, they realize that they're perishing. Notice the word that says in the end of verse 6, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. These men knew that they were perishing. And so therefore they were going to try every means that they could have, every means at their disposal. They were going to try because the only thing that mattered was that they would not perish. The only thing that counted, friend, was that they would be saved. Let me tell you, you see, whenever danger comes, or whenever death comes, let me tell you, material things mean nothing. The things of the world, let me tell you, mean nothing. You walk into Alfie Stewart's home, friend, and sit down. And you look into a home that yesterday morning was happy. A family that were happy together. A family united, a family excited about the day, friend, never knowing that before or shortly after the midday, that their life would change and change, never to be the same again. Let me tell you, material things don't count anymore. And these men, let me tell you, they had a rich cargo on board in this shipwreck, but I'll tell you, they were perishing, and they realized they were perishing, so they realized that the material things didn't count anymore. It was that they would be saved, that's all the thing that counted. And I don't care what you own today. I don't care what you're building your life upon, friends. Let me tell you this, if you're building on anyone else than the rock Christ Jesus, you're on sinking sand and you'll go to hell with it. And you learn some solemn fact that I tell you this, you may build your lives up to build bigger and greater, but in the light of God's eternity, they're not worth that. They're not worth that. In the light of God's eternity, friend, the rich man and the poor man, they just leave. They're exactly the same, because the rich man and the poor man leaves all. And you've got to leave it all behind, friend. And in light of God's eternity, this is what Jesus said. Listen to me carefully. Jesus said, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and would lose his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange? Or so. And here they were on the verge of perishing, and they realized on the verge of perishing, friend, listen, and the only thing that counted, listen, we want to be saved. We want to be saved from a watery grave. Listen, friend. The place that you need to be saved from unsaved man, there's no water. It's a Christless hell.
Lost eternity. Oh, to be without a Savior, with no hope, no refuge nigh. Can it be, oh blessed Jesus, that one without thee would dare to die? And so they unladen the ship of the wares. 14th of April 1912, people were sailing on the Titanic. At 10 o'clock, that ship had an iceberg. At that time, the band was playing. It is said the tune they were playing was Roll Out the Barrel and We'll Have a Barrel of Fun. But they hit an iceberg and the ship began to sink, and it is reported that when the tragedy struck, the tune changed. The band stopped playing Roll Out the Barrel and We'll Have a Barrel of Fun. The band began to play Nearer My God to Thee. Near to Thee. Tell me, what changed the thread? What changed the tune? One moment at a time. And friend, let me tell you, the tune will change. Here on, say a person, listen to me. The tune will change. And I'll tell you in a moment, you'll have a new outlook on things. Alfie Stewart has a new outlook on things. Because Lorraine, why, she was a very quiet woman. She was the heart of that home. He said to her the night before, just a wee simple thing. He said, Lorraine, give me a kiss. You're as beautiful as the day I married you. Not knowing the next day, her lips would never touch him. Tune can change, friend. Listen to me carefully. And you see things different. I'll tell you, these big men saw things differently. Just in a moment of time, they realized they were perishing. And they tried everything, everything that was available to them. Every available means. And what were they doing? They were trying to save themselves. I say to you in God's name, men, this morning, listen to me, women. You can never save yourself. It's only Jesus can. Thank God Jesus can't see. Scriptures ask the question, what wilt thou do in the swellings of Jordan? But notice in the middle of verse 5, these men are at peril of, and they are in danger. But notice a word, or two words there in the middle of verse 5. But Jonah. But Jonah. What about him? What's he doing, friend? Here's men praying. Here's men crying out unto their God. Here's men doing everything they can to lighten the ship. And they cast the cargo over the side. And what about Jonah? The man on board, the only man on board that knew God. The only man that knew how to pray. The only man who could really pray and touch the throne of God. The man that should have been calling on Jehovah. What was he doing? He was lying down in the side of the ship, fast asleep. Sad to say, he was totally unaware of the danger. See, let me tell you, friend. You see, whenever you live in rebellion, whenever you live in rebellion against God, a child of God walking in rebellion against God out of the will of God, friend, let me tell you, they soundly sleep. Why? Because they've hardened their heart in their rebellion. That's why they'll not cry over souls the way they used to cry. They'll not be burdened about the lost the way they used to be lost, because there's a hardness in their hearts. And they become indifferent to the tragedy of all around them. And here is Jonah, the man of God, and he's drugged by his indifference. There's many today, and our nation is going to hell, friend, and the people who profess the name of Jesus Christ have got a heart that's hardened, that they seem to be careless. They couldn't care what is happening to our nation, asleep to the tragedy. I'm trying to be honest. Just like this story, Jonah was sleeping as the ungodly were on the verge of perishing. And many of God's people are sleeping this morning. And their families are going to hell. And they're more interested in a big car, and they're more interested in a big bank account than they are in the souls of men and women, friend. And they're sleeping as the lost are perishing. Now what happened to the verse 6? The shipmaster came to Jonah and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Here's Jonah, the man of God, friend, and he gets a wake-up call. And who does he get it from? A pagan. An ungodly man has to waken the man of God to tell him about the danger. A man who is filled with superstition. And here's this ungodly man. He is the one that God uses to confront Jonah. And he shouts and he cries unto him. And he says, what meanest thou? What do you mean, man? That you're sleeping. What was he saying, friend? He was saying this. How can you sleep, Jonah? How can you sleep? How can you sleep and get up and call upon my God? And here was a hardened sinner, an ungodly shipmaster. You know what he does, friend? He rebukes the prayerlessness of the man of God. Tell me, how much do we pray? Are we on our knees before God, friend, for the ungodly? It's an interesting thing, you know. Jonah was running away from God because he didn't want the heathen saved. And God stops him. And what an awful embarrassment it must have been. What an awful awakening it must have been, friend. For let me tell you, Jonah had no testimony. No testimony. Before these perishing souls. How can you sleep? How can you sleep? How can you fail to pray, child of God? How can you fail to come to the place of prayer? And your loved ones of your family are dying in their sin and they're going to hell, friend. Listen, and in a moment they could be in the fires of a lost eternity. Friend, let me tell you. And there's no use crying for them when it's too late. There's no use weeping for them. Whenever the lamp of life has gone out, now is the time. Now is your time. Let me tell you this. When those men were down in the belly of the sea, or in the sea there, there was no use Jonah crying then. How can you sleep, man? How can you sleep? Who said that? The ungodly. The ungodly man said. How can you sleep, man? How can you sleep? Would you rise and call on God that we perish not? Now the interesting thing is this, the Holy Ghost doesn't tell me what Jonah said in reply. Let me tell you, to be honest. What could he say? What could Jonah say? What excuse could Jonah give for him? So the Holy Ghost doesn't give us a word of what Jonah said. There was silence. But very quickly, when this I close, I see the overruling providence here. Verse 7, and they said every one to his fellow. You see, whenever that captain was down in the ship, and the men were on board. Let me tell you, what were they doing, friend? He says, come now, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil. They knew there was something wrong here. They knew there was something wrong. They knew there was something wrong in somebody's life. For whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots. And the lot fell on Jonah. And here we see the overriding providence of God, friend, because let me tell you, be sure your sin will find you out. God put the right cap on the right head, friend. And God can ring your number, friend. God can ring our number. He knows exactly who we are. And as soon as Jonah had been singled out, these men asked them penetrating questions. Now I've got to finish because we'll come back to it. What did they say? Verse 8. And they said unto him, tell us. Please tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? Whence cometh thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? You see, Jonah had no testimony before them. They had to drag it out of him. The world had to drag it out of him. Whose he was. And who he served. Oh, may God today give us the grace, no matter where we are, that we'll have a testimony. That we'll live a testimony. And then that we'll speak a testimony. For the glory of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thou knowest our hearts today. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that for those who are not saved, Lord, that they might realize today the urgency of the moment and the danger of the hour. That they might run to Christ and be saved for all eternity. We pray for your children. Oh God, grant that we might live a life before the ungodly, that they might know that we have been to Jesus, that we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Keep our testimonies clean. Help us, our God, to live Christ so we'll not be a danger to those around us. Help us never to be a stumbling block, but help us to be a stepping stone for the glory of Jesus. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.